Man, well, it sure is good to see everybody this morning. Let's all stand together and turn to page number 162. Page 162, to God be the glory. Let's sing out together.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin. Redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Taught us great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Amen. You're singing that like you mean it. Let's bow together in prayer and ask the Lord to bless this meeting. Precious Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before Your holy throne. Thank You so much for the blood of Jesus Christ that allows us access in a time of need. Lord, it allows us access to worship You. Father, this morning we have assembled to meet with Thee and to speak with Thee, Lord, to hear from heaven. I do pray, Heavenly Father, that You would help us. Lord, I pray You'd fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, may there be a sense of urgency to hear and to have revival. Lord, we ask, God, that You would stir our hearts as a church. I pray, God, that You would just help us to look toward heaven today and to hear what only You can bring and send to us. I pray that You'd help us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Help us to listen with attentive ears what You may have us to do. Lord, we ask that You would bless this meeting. Help us to honor and glorify You in it. We ask it all now in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We want to welcome our guest here this morning. I would say guest, but we have Mr. Joe Lenville with us today. Joe is my friend and has been for a long time, and I am so grateful. He told me yesterday that he'd be attending today, and he's here, and we want to welcome you to our church and give you a little gift, an ink pen from our church, and then if you'll fill out the card and put that in an offering plate. If you haven't met Joe, I want to encourage you to go by and say hey to him, and he's a good friend of mine. Don't hold that against him. I have several things I'd like to share with you this morning. I have placed in the back of the auditorium a banner that states for us our theme for the year. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. I'll bring the first of several messages this morning. from this thought process, not from Second Timothy, but from that thought, to stir up the gift of God. And I want to be stirred up for the Lord. I want to be encouraged to do the work of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me make a few announcements. We'll leave tomorrow around 2 o'clock for the winter revival down in Moxville, North Carolina. Several of us are going to attend that meeting, and I am praying that it'll be a time of refreshing. If you cannot go, if you'd still like to go, there's time. You are more than welcome to travel with us. We'll take the church van down. But if you don't plan to go and are not able to go, please pray for us that God would speak to our heart. We'll be there on Monday evening as well as all day on Tuesday, two different meetings on Tuesday. So pray that God will speak to our hearts as we go. We've changed the date for our prayer meeting. We have a prayer meeting the first Tuesday of every month, and because we'll be gone tomorrow, or Tuesday, I should say, we've moved it to the 10th, so February the 10th. It is my prayer that each of you would be willing and anxious to attend this prayer meeting. Last time we had 26. I'd love to see that number doubled. Do you think that'd be possible? I believe it could. And that's a Tuesday evening prayer meeting, open for both men and women, and we'll be happy to have you. And that'll be an exciting time. Now, I've been making phone calls and sending out text messages concerning our couples banquet. It's the 13th, February the 13th. If you haven't signed up for that, let me encourage you to do that. We have about 15 couples signed up at this time, and others have told me that they're coming, and that's an exciting thing, and I look forward to it. I've invited Daniel Dent from Alum Creek Baptist Church. It's just outside of Charleston. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. I've asked him to speak to us that evening, and I'm praying this will be a great time. I want to change the emphasis of this meeting. More than just a couples banquet, I want to make this an outreach. If you would like to attend this and you are encouraged to be part of this, I want you to bring someone with you. Bring a couple with you that you feel like would be interested in our church, or our church could be a blessing and help to them. I want to bring you up to date on the sale of the church bus. We voted several weeks ago, or I guess a couple weeks ago now, to sell the Ford bus, and there's no problem. However, the church at Cranberry has not been able to announce it, and they have not been able to do anything about it yet because of the weather. So they've got that on hold, and it looks like everything will go just fine there. But I wanted to make sure everybody knew what was going on, and that's an exciting thing. There's several people that have texted me this morning. I can't help but think I need to share these. Let's pray for Jeanette Whitaker. She's at home. She had surgery yesterday on her heart, several ablations. She's weak and recovering. Let's pray for the Lilly family that are not able to get out this morning. Pray for Donnie Hunter. He shut in this morning. He fell and broke his elbow. I fell this week. There were several people I know that fell this week, but he fell and broke his elbow, so I know he's hurting. Let's pray for Donnie. Let's also pray for Devin Shrewsbury. He mentioned a couple different families, the Vince Larkin family. Vince had passed away, and he asked that we pray for this family as well as the Cole family. Tommy asked me to pray for his mommy, of course, pastor's mom, Ruth Cochran. She has a compression fracture in her back. So let's pray and ask the Lord to comfort Ms. Cochran. She's been such a help to us, such an encouragement. So let's pray for her. And then Brother Dwayne asked me to pray for Esther Gillenwater. She has cancer. And then Brother Jim has mentioned Maria Lane and Sullivan Lilly. And then Ms. Cordy asked us to pray for her brother that's going to have a procedure here real soon on the 10th, Ken Lilly. And do be praying about this, praying that God would help and intervene in all these circumstances. The choir's going to be singing, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." Will you pray for them as they sing?
Thank you.
let's all stand together and turn to page number 364. Page number 364, standing on the promises of God. Let's sing this out together, and then we'll shake hands for a little bit.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Let's shake hands a little bit. Number 364 on the last verse.
Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Now that you're standing, you may have a seat. Let me ask the ushers that come forward at this time. There are 14 people that have joined us on the Lighthouse line. I'm excited about that. Many folks couldn't get out today. How many of you still have a driveway that is ice covered? How many of you have a driveway that's ice covered and you're thankful for the little bit of snow that's on it? Yes, it was getting bad, wasn't it? My wife and I live on a gravel road that's almost a half a mile long. It's a little over 3/10 of a mile, and it's like this, and you can push the snow off, but you can't push the ice off, and once it starts, boy, oh boy, here it goes. Let me mention something to you. As the years have gone by, we have been faithful to run our church buses, and I'm thankful that we are able to run our church buses. For the last couple of weeks, we've had to cancel because of the weather. And Pastor has made it a habit the first Sunday of each month to take up an offering for the lunches. We always give each rider a lunch. That way they're not here for several hours and hungry, so they're able to eat that lunch on the way home. At the conclusion of the service and the first Sunday of each month, I'd like to continue that, and we will continue to pack these children their lunches and feed them so they're not starving when they get home. So we'll do that at the conclusion of the service, just a heads up on that. But let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the offering. Brother Sean, would you come and lead us in prayer, please?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful to be gathered in your house this morning, Lord, to have the opportunity to come and to worship you, Lord, freely, Father, and to be able to come to the feet of Jesus, Lord, for our needs and our problems, Lord. And we're thankful for the salvation that you provide that's freely given, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that if there's one in your house this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, and hasn't put their faith and trust in you, Lord, I pray that today's the day. Father God, I'm thankful for the freedoms that you give us, Lord, the liberty that we have to be able to come and do what we do, Lord. And even though the weather we have, Lord, you've blessed us, Father, and we're grateful for it. Lord God, now I pray and ask that you would bless this offering, Lord, and use it for your honor and your glory. And I ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for the gift. Very beautifully played. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the choir did not sing "I'd Rather Have Jesus." Brother Dave's going to sing that in just a moment. I've asked him to communicate with me what they're singing. Now, it's not his fault. It's my fault that I can't read, you know. But, you know, I want to take the opportunity to say something there. You have a very unique pastor. And one of the things that is unique about me is the number of mistakes that I make. They're many. I embrace them. You know, throughout my life, I've encouraged my children, if there's something that's not right, if there's something out of the way, blame it on me. And I said, you know, I make so many mistakes, it won't hurt for somebody to throw something else on me. It's all right. You know, when you think about it for a moment, and you meditate upon what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Before Adam,
before the Garden of Eden, before the fruit, before Eve ever took the first bite, before sin had entered into the world, God already had a plan of redemption. He had already made a way to forgive us of our sin. And we're mistake makers. You know that? I don't shy from that. Here's what I'm finding. As I read God's word, I'm finding that over and over again, God has made provision in his law and in his word for mistakes. It's so powerful. God has made room for us to make mistakes. His word says a just man falls 7 times. What's he do? He gets back up. That's exactly right. I hope that you'll forgive me, and one day I'll make a mistake concerning you. One day I'll hurt your feelings. There's no doubt about it. I won't do it on purpose, and I'll attempt never to do that, but I'm praying that you'll be patient with me as I'm getting used to saying things a certain way and presenting things a certain way. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. The verse for this hour is verse 6. We'll read the first 6 verses. Now David is coming to sing for us, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." Let's pray for him.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. This world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I'd like you to take your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then we'll begin reading in verse 1. Paul writes to Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. The Bible says in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. Verse 6 will be the text verse for today, and I want you to look at what the scripture says. Paul tells Timothy, he says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. Let's pray together. Would you pray and ask the Lord to speak to your heart? Father in heaven, I'm so grateful and thankful for your many blessings. I'm so grateful that I'm able to preach this morning. Lord, I declare, I cry out to heaven. I need your help this morning. I need your blessings. Lord, I just ask that as we walk through the pages of the Word of God, that we would be encouraged to be stirred up. Father, I pray that you'd use me through the power of the Holy Spirit to stir up not only, Lord, myself, but, Lord, this church for the cause of Christ. Father in heaven, may we be on fire for thee. May we live our life for thee. I pray that you'd help us to devote and dedicate our life to loving you and to serving you and to doing our best for you. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we attempt to do thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll look in verse number 6, I want you to look at these two words. The Bible says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up. I want you to mark those two words and then notice with me the banner in the back of the auditorium. Of course, it is the theme for this year. Now, I have many things in my heart and my mind that I want to see accomplished throughout this year. And I have some goals that I want to accomplish and things that I want to share with you. And now's not the time for that. But I've got some things in reserve so that we can be stirred up as a church. Now, I want you to know that early last year, God began to deal with my heart and God began to stir me up. And I have been doing my dead level best, trying to be faithful to the Lord in this area of stirring my own heart. Now, when you look at these two words, stirred up, I want you to understand these are fire words. Now, I don't normally do this, and I want you to forgive me, okay? I don't normally do this, but I'm going to pull out a Greek word on you. Is that okay? And it's significant because there's three parts or three phases of this one single word. And to be honest about it, it gives us a very clear picture of what he is trying to accomplish in Timothy's life. The word is this, anazopuro. Now, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but I have practiced it several times, so I hope that I've got it correct, and I listen to it and that type of thing. And I know that doesn't mean anything to you, but I want to break the word down. The first part of that word is the word ana, and that simply means repetition or to revive. And maybe you could write beside that word stirred up. There are some certain things that need to be repeated in our life. There are things that need to be revived in our life, and that's the first part of the word that is used there in the background, of course, translated into English, we understand it perfectly, stirred up. The second part of that word is zone, and it means a living thing. So let me put those two together. We have a revival or a repetition of a living thing. Now, there's a third phase of that word, and that is just the P-U-R, pur. And what that is it simply means fire. Now, let's put all three of those phases of that word together, and I want you to see what this word means. It means that there is a repetition or a revival of living fire. May I say it this way? A revival of living fire, or a repetition of revival fire. I'm so thankful that God has done something in my heart. I want you to know that God did something deep down inside of my heart when I was a child. I'm glad I didn't wait till I was an old man to get saved. I'm glad that God started working on me early in life, and it's been a blessing to live my life knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior. I would not want to change anything about my life. As a matter of fact, I would just absolutely be lost and undone in this world if I wouldn't have been saved at the age of 5. I heard someone say this a long time ago. They were bragging about how God had saved someone from prison and from drugs and so on and so forth, murder and as deep of crimes as you could possibly imagine. I thought to myself, well, you know, one day I had the chicken pox. That's, you know, but here's the bottom line. It took the same amount of the grace of God to save me as the most vile sinner that's ever lived. And I'm grateful that God did something deep down inside of my heart to forgive me of my sin and to show me that He was my Savior. Now, I want you to see what Paul was not telling Timothy in this verse. And then I want you to look with me in the book of Leviticus. Don't turn there just yet. Make just a couple more notes in 2 Timothy before we move. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Now, again, this is fire language. This word stir up is directly associated with fire. And I want to tell you, it's cold outside. This morning, if I'm not mistaken, Shelly, you told me it's 4 degrees. I don't know what the temperature was. If it's more or less than that, I don't know. But it was cold. We can all agree on that, right? And I want you to know, about 2:30 this morning, you pray for me. I just could not sleep. I was wide awake. And I tried to go back to sleep. I could not. It was not happening. I tried to take a nap. It was not happening. There is a burden on me to preach the Word of God. There is a burden on me to be right with God. And this morning when I got up out of bed, it was cold. I went downstairs, and I've got a wood fireplace. And I want you to understand, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of firewood. And we've been bringing in firewood, Brother John, not by the wheelbarrow loads, but by the skid steer loads. We've been bringing in load after load after load, and I've been burning it. And this morning I got up and I shoveled some of the ashes away and I stuffed that stove as full as I could get it. And when I got finished, it wasn't probably 2 or 3 hours later, I left that thing wide open. As soon as I went back downstairs, I noticed it was empty again. And the very next thing I did was I went in there and I poked and prodded around and spread out all the different chunks of wood that were just cherry fire red, and I filled it up again. I was stirring up that fire to keep my house hot. Now, I want to ask you this morning, how's your fire? Because that's what Paul is asking Timothy. How's your fire? You know, there's a few things that I hope that you'll jot down that Paul was not saying. Would you write this down? Paul was not saying, go start a new fire. He wasn't saying, go start a brand new fire, because here's the best I know, every person in this room is saved and on their way to heaven. The best I know, every person in this room, I've spoke with you about your salvation, and you have a clear testimony, and God has lit a fire. It might have been a long time ago, but at some point in time in your life, God has started a fire deep down inside of you. Paul was not telling Timothy to go start a new fire, because here's what happens. Once you're saved and on your way to heaven, God revives that fire over and over and over again. Once you're saved and on your way to heaven, God stirs up that fire. Now, here's what I'm convinced of. I'm convinced that we need to stir it up. I'm convinced that we need to stir up the fire. You know why? Because our hearts get cold. Forget about your house. What about your heart? Sometimes our homes get cold. And when I say the home, I'm not talking about your house. I'm talking about your wife and your kids and your family. They get cold. And God has given us a way to stir it up. Get those embers moving again. Now, I want you to write this down. Paul was not telling Timothy to ask God to send fire again. Not new fire to send it again. No, it's to stir up the fire that was already in him. Would you look at this? Stir up the gift of God. That was in him. It was on the inside of him. And dear friend, I want you to understand it is very possible that God started a fire in you. At one time it was blazing cherry hot. I've had that stove downstairs so hot before. I've wondered, Brother Dave, whether I was going to burn the house down or not. I've went downstairs and forgot and left a draft open. I've went downstairs before and I've seen the door bent out. I want you to know I've went downstairs before and I've looked over and I thought to myself, oh no, I'm in trouble because the door in the top of the stove is cherry red. I want you to understand spiritually there's times in our life when we're like that. There's times in our life where we've got the fire of God burning hot inside of us. But then there's other times in life where we drift away and we just stir the fire up. Paul wasn't telling Timothy to ask God to send the fire again. And here's the third thing. Paul wasn't telling Timothy to ask God to reignite the fire because the fire never goes out. It just needs to be stirred. He wasn't asking that the fire be reignited, just to be stirred. Now, this is Bible language. When you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6, and Paul tells Timothy to stir up the gift of God that is in him, that's Bible language. Let me share with you the thought in the Old Testament. Would you turn with me to the book of Leviticus? And I want to walk through the book of Leviticus. Boy, that was an interesting word, wasn't it? I want to walk through the book of Leviticus quickly this morning and share with you just a few things that encouraged and challenged me. By the way, when you get to the book of Leviticus, it teaches us, it shows us how a holy God in heaven dwells with sinful people. You know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us. God is holy. He never changes, but God has made a way in his word for us to be to dwell with him. I want to remind you that before Israel left Egypt, God had redeemed them. Remember, they went through the Passover. Remember, they were redeemed by the blood that was placed on the doorpost. They were not looking for salvation in the wilderness. They were not looking to be saved in the wilderness. They were looking to be stirred up. When the children of Israel were doing these offerings, and I'm going to share with you in just a moment, it was part of what God placed in their life so that they might be stirred up. Would you look with me in chapter 1? And verse number 6, and by the way, the first five chapters give us each a different offering, and I want to give you a word that will help you understand what that offering is about, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 6, and he shall flay the, what is this? Burnt offering. Would you mark that in your Bible? Mark in a special way because this is the Lord introducing to us the burnt offering. And the Bible says, and cut it into pieces. Now, if there was one word that you could associate with that word burnt offering, it would be the word acceptance. God gave the burnt offering so that we might be able to be accepted in his presence. Not redeemed. That's not where God had already began there long before we get to Leviticus chapter 1. We find that this is about acceptance. Now, I want you to look at the command that he gives in verse 7. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put what? Fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the altar. There was a specific thing that they were supposed to accomplish. They were supposed to cut wood. They were supposed to stack the wood on the brazen altar. And that's what we're talking about. When you would walk inside the tabernacle, the first piece of furniture you'd come to was made of solid brass. And that was the place where it was made of grates and very heavy duty. It was very heavy built. And the purpose of that was so that sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice could be laid on it and burn up. I want you to understand that the fire wasn't built just yet. God had commanded that Aaron and his sons build the fire. That's the point that I want you to see. Now turn with me to chapter 2. And we'll find the second offering. If you'll look in verse 1, God introduces to us a second offering. And the Bible says, and when any will offer a meat offering. Would you mark that? Now, the one word that I'd like for you to mark with meat offering is the word consecration. They dedicated themselves to the Lord. And this had to do with them being committed
to the Christian life or to a life following the Lord and consecration. They set aside their life for serving God. There was no blood involved in this offering. As a matter of fact, it's a little bit confusing. It says meat offering. And if you can remember this in your mind, a meat offering doesn't have any meat in it. if you'll study it, it was an offering of flour, of either wheat or barley. It was a meat offering was a flour offering. Now let's look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, you'll find the third one. And it says in verse 1, and if his oblation, and by the way, mark beside the word oblation, that's just simply an offering, something that you offer up to God. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, and mark that one, that's the third one. And this has to do with fellowship. Please mark that, fellowship. And then look with me at chapter 4. We're just moving quickly here. Chapter 4 and at the end of verse 3. Chapter 4 and verse 3, you'll find that this is what chapter 3 deals with. The Bible says, if the priest that is anointed to do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And this sin offering is for cleansing and forgiveness. And you'll find that this is where we find the word atonement. This is the offering that is used on the Day of Atonement. This sin offering is very unique. I'd love to talk to you about it more, but we're going to move on. And look with me at verse number 6. The Bible says, and he shall bring his, I'm sorry, chapter 5 and verse 6. I got ahead of myself. Chapter 5 and verse 6. This is the fifth type of offering. And by the way, you'd do really good as you're reading through the book of Leviticus, or actually through all the books of the law, if you would just write these five offerings down and what they represent and what they mean, because you're going to see them over and over and over and over again. And as you read through the Old Testament, as you get to these offerings, you can look over and see, hey, this is found in Leviticus chapter 1, and then read the details about it. This is found in Leviticus chapter 2, and read the details about it, and so on and so forth, and what they mean and how they can help you personally. So the fifth one is found in chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible says, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sins. Now this has to do with restoration. This has to do with restitution or restoration, God restoring a man back to where he was. Now, there's an interesting command, and you'll find chapter 6, 7, and 8. They all repeat these offerings. You say, Brother Fred, where are you going? I want you to see the fire. That's where we're headed to. Don't forget this. We're talking about fire, right? Stay with me. We're headed to the fire. In chapter 6, I want you to see what God commands Aaron. Look down in verse 9, and I hope that you'll mark this. Command Aaron, let's back up to verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is a burnt offering because the burning upon the altar, what does the Bible say? All night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Okay, God's plan was that once Aaron and his sons started a fire, when they laid the wood upon the altar, once that fire was started, it was God's plan that that fire continually burn. I want you to look with me at verse 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offerings on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garment, and put on the other garments, and carry forth the ashes. Remember, ashes are a reminder of yesterday's fire. Can I get on a sidetrack for just a moment? Let me hit a rabbit trail. Dave, is that all right? Real quick. A lot of times that's what churches are, just filled with ashes. Yesterday's fire. They talk about how good things were in olden days. They think about how good it was, revivals that they've experienced, and preachers that they've had, and how good God was in the past. Those are ashes. They are absolutely profitless. They serve no purpose. They produce no heat. But I want you to understand, under every ash pile in the heart of God, there is an ember that is burning that can be stirred back into a flame. Look with me at verse number 12.
The Bible says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. Would you mark this in your Bible? This is so important. This is so critical. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. And then mark verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Dear friend, that is God's plan for your Christian life. That is God's purpose for your life. God has started a fire deep down inside of your heart the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it is his plan, it is his intention for that fire to never go out. Oh, God gives us a warning in his word. God says, quench not the Holy Spirit. We're to be careful not to quench the Holy Spirit. Don't put him out. Don't put out the fire that God has established in your life. Now keep turning with me. Keep on going over to chapter 7, and I want you to look with me at verse 15 now. And we're just making our way over to where the real fire comes, okay? We've got a fire. We're talking about a fire that Aaron and his sons have built, but the real fire's not here yet. Look with me at chapter 7 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten." Wait a minute, I want to skip this. I'm going to come back to this a little bit later on. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Now turn with me to chapter number 9, and I want to begin reading in verse 8. Chapter 9 and verse 8. And I want to read through and I know this is a lengthy passage of Scripture, but I want to read all the way to the end of the chapter, and I want you to see what happens. This is so important. This is so critical to understand what Paul is teaching Timothy. There's a beginning of a new paragraph in verse 8. Let's begin there. This is Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 8. Aaron therefore went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And understand that the fire is already gone. Do you see it? Aaron's already been obedient. God is never going to move. God is never going to send fire from heaven unless we do what he says to do first. If you'll remember, I read over in chapter 1 and verse 7, God told Levi to kindle his own fire. The sons of Levi, Aaron. God told Aaron to start his own fire. Do you remember it? And I want you to understand, if Aaron wouldn't have been obedient, if Aaron wouldn't have took steps of faith, if Aaron wouldn't have stepped out by faith and started the fire and made the sacrifices, what happens a little later on in this chapter would have never took place. But Aaron is walking in obedience. Aaron has built the fire in his life. And then I want you to see what follows. Verse 9, and the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him. Isn't that beautiful? And he dipped his finger in the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar. Horns are a picture of power or a symbol of authority. And I want you to understand, around the brazen altar, there were four horns there. And when the blood was applied, it gave power to that sacrifice. It gave power to that offering that was made. The Bible says, and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. Glory to God, what a picture of the cross. Think about it. When you think about the tabernacle, stop thinking that they were walking on dirt. They were not. Stop thinking about the thought that when they were ministering unto the Lord that their feet were clean. They were not. I want you to understand that after every one of those bullocks and goats and lambs and rams were sacrificed, they'd take the blood of that and pour it at the base of the altar. Think about how bloody their feet were as they moved about ministering unto the Lord. And I want you to understand, every single thing about the Christian life has a blood foundation. The blood is poured at the base of the brazen altar, and they walked all over it. It's what gave them their power. Look with me at verse 10. But the fat of the kidneys and the caul above the liver of his sin offering he burnt upon the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses, and the flesh of the hide he burnt with fire without the camp. I want you to understand, every verse is divine obedience. Every word that we're reading, Aaron is keeping God's word. The Bible says in verse 12, and he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's son presented unto him the blood which he sprinkled round about the altar. And they presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar. And he did wash the inwards and the legs and burnt them upon the burnt offerings on the altar. If you're wondering why they're doing that, all you got to do is go back to those previous chapters and it'll explain it perfectly. The Bible says in verse 15, and he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it and offered it for sin as the first. And he brought the burnt offerings and offered it according to the manner. And he brought the meat offering and took a handful thereof and burned it upon the altar besides the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offering, which was for the people. And Aaron's son presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled upon the altar round about, and the fat of the bullock, of the ram, the rump, and that which covereth the inwards, and the kidneys, and the caul upon the liver. Let me tell you something. God's will and God's plan for your life is intricate. God's plan is detailed. There's no wonder we miss it. God has a specific plan that's outlined for us in his word. And watch this. We can't pick and choose as we go through the Christian life which one we're going to obey and which one we don't obey. You cannot go through and say, okay, I'm all right with this law, but not okay with this law. When God says he commands something, or when God commands something, we say, okay, we're okay with that one. And then we disregard another one of his words. I want you to understand the fire is not going to fall. I want you to understand that you're not going to be stirred. These men were very deliberate in their obedience to the Lord. Verse 20, and they put the fat upon the breast. I'm just saying every word is important. There's no fillers in the word of God. None of this is here by mistake or accident. And the burnt, the fat upon the altar, and the breast and the right shoulder, Aaron weighed for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from the offering, the sin offering, and the burnt offering, and the peace offering. Now is where it starts to get good. I want you to see that God has given his word clearly. There's no mistaking, and if you read chapters 1 through 8, there will be no mistake in your mind what God's will is. You'll know exactly what God expected. By the way, God's will is not hidden for you. The Christian life is not some type of mystery. You wonder whether or not you're doing right or wrong. Open your ears to the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Open your eyes to the precious Word of God, and he will reveal to you what is right and what is wrong. I'm thankful that there is a great work in the Word of God that teaches us what's right and what's wrong. It's hogwash to think that God's children go through this life and live any old way they want to live and wonder, or try to convince themselves or justify themselves of their sin and their unrighteousness and wonder whether or not God winks at it. I'm telling you, we don't have to wonder. We have the precious word of God that is laid in exact verse by verse for us to understand exactly what God wants for us. And that's exactly what these men were doing. For a change, on a rare occasion, we find the very specific incident here where God's children are being obedient. They're doing exactly what he said to do. Now I want you to see what happens. The Bible says in verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out. And the Bible says, and blessed the people. Oh, look at this. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Would you mark it in your Bible? And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. I want you to understand, we're never going to see the glory of God until our fire is stirred up. We're not going to see the glory of God until we get the sin out of the camp. We're not going to see our fire stirred up for God until we're obedient. And then the Bible says in verse 24, oh, I love it. I hope that you'll mark it. I hope that you'll shed a tear in your page on your Bible, be wet with a tear here. Look what the Bible says. And there came a fire out from before the Lord. And notice what happened. Oh, Aaron's fire was already burning. Aaron's fire was already licking at the bottom of the shoulders and the hips of that sacrifice. It was already there licking at that. But I want you to see what happened next. The Bible says, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, the Bible says, they shouted and fell on their faces. Let me give you just a few thoughts here about this fire. This fire represents God's acceptance. We knew that God was pleased because he sent the fire. One way we can know for sure whether or not God's accepting what we're doing is by the fire. Fire, acceptance. No fire, no acceptance. It's that simple. It's a Bible historical fact. If you look at the life of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse 21, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Gideon was proved that he was accepted by God by the fire. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. We know for sure that Elijah was doing what was right because the fire fell. Let me tell you, you can know whether or not your life is right with God. You can know whether or not you're in the will of God. Listen to me, church. This morning, you can know whether or not your sins are where they need to be at. You can know whether or not you're walking in obedience. Let me ask you a question. How's your fire? If your fire's just about out and there's nothing but just a small ember burning left deep down inside the stove of your heart, then understand it needs to be stirred up. Not only did it mean that it was God accepted it, but it also showed God's continuous atonement. Oh, God was covering their sins. God was covering their sins as long as they saw the fire, and the fire never went out. That was God's plan. The fire never went out. It represented God's continual atonement. Every child of God ought to have a fire burning deep inside of them just to remind themselves that their sins are forgiven, that they've been washed, that they've been cleaned. Dear friend, tonight I want to encourage you to stir up the gift of God in you, if for no other reason than to punch the devil right square in the mouth when he goes and accuses you. Listen, when he brings up your sin and your unrighteousness, have enough fire going inside of you to say, hey, wait a minute, the fire of God's fell on my life. The fire of God's come down from heaven, and he's forgiven me of my sin. He's cleansed me of my unrighteousness. Hey, devil, look here. Hey, devil, watch out. There's a fire burning deep in my heart, and it's proof before God Almighty that he's forgiven me of my sin and cleansed me of my unrighteousness. Dear friend, be the kind of Christian that has a fire deep inside your heart. Stir up the gift of God that is in you. Let me give you a third thing. Not only did it show that God accepted the sacrifice, not only did it show that God was giving continuous atonement, boy, but I like this one, that God was always available. You know, God proved to the nation of Israel over and over and over again that he was with them. In the book of Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14, I'll read it to you. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Let me ask you something. To a lost and dying world, is your fire bright enough? Has your fire been stirred enough so that they know that the presence of God is with you? Dear friend, let me encourage you this morning to stir up the gift of God that is inside of you so that others might see that God is with you. We live in a day and time where people look at God's people, Christian people, people that say they're saved and been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and there's absolutely no difference between them and the world. Listen, we ought to have enough of God's fire upon us. When anybody gets around us, they recognize, hold on a minute, what's that fire? What's that smoke that I smell? Wait a minute, that's the presence of God in their life. Let me ask you, how's your fire? Has your fire just about went out? Has your fire dwindled so much that you don't know whether or not God's pleased with your life? You don't know whether or not God's accepting the way you're living? Stir up the fire. You say, Brother Fred, I don't know. Listen, do you know you can get to a point in time in your life where you forgot that your sins were forgiven? Do you know you can drift so far away from God? You can get so far away from the presence of God and be so backslidden on God that you forgot that God put a fire deep down on the inside of you. It needs to be stirred up so that we're reminded that God has forgiven us of our sin. Oh, dear friend, let me say it this way. Is there enough fire deep down inside your heart where other people recognize that there's something different about you? Listen, there wasn't a country, there wasn't a nationality, I should say it that way. There wasn't a people group around the nation of Israel that didn't realize that God was in that camp. There was a fire that was burning that never went out. Dear friend, we've got to work on our fire. We've got to work on our fire. Dear friend, we've got to work on our fire. Hey, wake up! We've got to work on our fire. Listen, now's not the time for sleep. Now's the time to get in there with the prod and stir the embers and stir up the fire and put some wood on it. What's the wood? Pray and ask God for His help. Read your Bible like life and death depends on it. Let me ask you today, how's your fire? Would you stand with me? Boy, the invitation's real simple this morning. Number one, if God's never started that fire in your life, let me encourage you to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sin. Let me encourage you to ask Him to be your Savior. Number two, if you are saved and you are on your way to heaven and you've backslidden and you've got away from the Lord and your fire's not burning as bright as it once was, then make it right. Ask God to stir you up. Let me ask you this. How many of you would say, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, how many of you would say today, Brother Fred, my fire's just about went out. Oh, I still got some embers in there. Underneath the ashes, it's still burning. But boy, oh boy, it needs stirred. God bless you. Someone else, God bless you. Many, many hands. My fire's just about went out. Oh, my heart's cold. My home is cold. My fire's just about went out. Brother Fred, pray for me. And I have been praying for you. Pray for me that I'd stir the fire up in my heart. Anyone else, you say, Brother Fred, that's me. Pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. God bless you. Many hands, many, many hands. Here's what I want to do as Miss Emma begins to play. We're going to have a hymn of invitation as she begins to play. On the very first note, I want you to come. Not for me, but between you and the Lord. What page, Brother David? 261. If you'd like to take the hymn book and sing with us, 261. God's dealt with our hearts this morning. God's dealt with mine. Boy, I've done everything in my power to stir up the fire that's inside of me. Would you come and pray? Come and seek God's help. God bless you. So many are coming. So many are responding. Don't you be left out. The altars are full, but there's room. Amen. Call out to God and ask for His help. Bye.
Just one more verse. One more verse. Amen. You may look this way. Thank you, Miss Emma, for playing. And we'll take up this offering now at this time, and I'll ask the ushers to come. Thank you, Miss Emma. And I want to remind you that this is a very specific offering. This is just for our bus ministry and for purchasing the food, the lunches for the kids. And it may be that you're unprepared for this. That's fine. If you'd maybe tonight or sometime throughout the month, if you want to give to it, just mark on one of the tithing envelopes, bus food or bus lunches, and it'll find its rightful place. We're passing the chicken buckets. Amen. And all right, well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this offering, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Tommy, will you come and pray for this offering, please?
Our Father, as we come to you, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for the message. We pray, God, that you would stir our hearts. We pray, God, for this offering that we'll be able to help these young children, the bus children and the people. Pray, God, that they will find their way to you, Lord. Be with us throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen.